Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to NITP's For Your Benefit. We're here this Monday, November 25th, and we have kind of a dual show. The beginning stars will be the folks from SAMBA, Federal Employee Benefit Association, and we got the big kahunas here, don't we? Walt Wilson, Executive Director. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning.
And Pam Cummings, Deputy Executive Director.
Good morning.
Good morning. And co-host Tammy Flanagan.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. And Tammy is, of course, GovExec columnist, federal benefits presenter. And I always say, knower of all things federal. And anyway, then good to see you, Tammy.
Good to see you, too.
And we're going to have Joan Melanson on, and she's with Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. We're going to split the show. We'll try to do it right in the center. Okay. So why don't we start off with what is SAMBA? What does SAMBA stand for? Is it?
Well, SAMBA was started 65 years ago. As a matter of fact, this is our 65th anniversary year. And it was started by the special agents of the FBI, and SAMBA stood for Special Agent Mutual Benefit Association. However, over the years, SAMBA expanded its eligibility, and today SAMBA is open to all federal employees and all federal retirees or annuitants.
Good. And you were kind enough to bring brochures. I like the brochures. They're just easy to get in and out of for somebody like me that just likes to read and be in and out of it. So, does the Affordable Care Act have any positive, negative, no impact on you all?
Well, as far as the employees are concerned, or the members, SAMBA members are concerned, very little impact that they will see. Behind the scenes, there are some benefits that we have to make sure we offer because they're mandated by the Affordable Care Act. And also there's some fees that the Affordable Care Act levies on the plans that we have to pay. But as far as the enrollee is concerned, they won't see any impact or very little impact at all next year. And that's also true for members covered by Medicare. There won't be a big change in the way Medicare operates as far as they're concerned.
Federal employees still have good old FEHBP. As I've heard it said, at one of the original exchanges that's been around since, 1960, we've had the FEHB umbrella of programs.
1960, absolutely.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So open season is as usual for federal employees, even though we do get questions about that. A lot of employees are confused because they see so much of it in the news about the problems with the exchanges and signing up. But federal employees can sign up through their agencies. Federal retirees can sign up through OPM. And it's just as it is every other year. So that's good news.
And I think a lot of things people don't realize about SAMBA is that we have been a participant in the FEHBP since the inception in 1960.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And before FEHB existed.
Wow. All righty. So what's new with SAMBA? I won't say in general because it's an awful specific question, but what are the highlights? What's different this year or better this year than last year?
Well, for our standard option, there's very little change, including no change in the premium. The premium stayed the same. And we really did not make any major changes in the benefits. We use Cigna as our nationwide PPO, or preferred provider, which allows members to choose any provider that they want to go to, whether it's a family physician or a specialist. It's the same copay. We haven't changed that at all. We use CareMart as our pharmacy benefit manager, which includes the CVS retail drug chain, where members can fill their prescriptions for up to 90 days at a mail order copay. Speaking of drugs, we did lower the copay for the generics at retail. It had been $10. We reduced it to $8 for a 30-day supply. But generally, we have the same fine benefits, comprehensive benefits for next year as we've had this year.
And no news is good news when it comes to that.
No news is good news, I feel like.
Because we've heard some people complaining about things like catastrophic limits went up, even though the prices might have stayed the same. Some plans had to raise other things that really cost you more out of pocket. But what you're saying, Walt, is that SAMBA didn't have to do that, which is really good news.
We didn't have to do that, and that's a very good point, mm-hmm. Tammy, is that there are a lot of ways that plans can cut benefits to where it's not as noticeable, mm-hmm. perhaps, and by raising catastrophic limits. But we didn't have the need to do that.
Very good.
Okay, with regard to pricing, it seems that overall there's a 3.7% pricing increase in the program. I'm not going to pick on specifics. Where does SAMBA fit into that group? Above, below, middle?
Well, the high option that we have, it was probably above that. And the standard option, since we didn't have any rate increase for next year, would be below that.
Yeah, zero.
Okay. So zero.
And that's probably the greater percentage of
greater
your population?
Percentage. Most of our members are in the standard option.
Okay. Talk about members now. Because of your roots, you might have members outside the U.S.
Yes, we have a goodly number of members overseas and in Canada. And, of course, we cover their benefits when they're overseas as though they were in network and living here in Washington, D.C. That's how we figure out how much we're going to pay. But it's an in-network benefit, even though generally they go to any provider overseas that they want to, and we handle their benefits and provide coverage. We have several members who their families are here, where the member, the active employee, may be stationed overseas. And so we have coverage for all family members.
Do you find that you have a population within your population of retired feds that like to travel, but they really do live here in the States, but they would find comfort that you're worldwide?
Yes, and they're exactly right, Bob. They like to travel, and a large number of them have Medicare and oftentimes don't realize till they get out of the country that Medicare doesn't cover them when they're out of the country. But right. When they have SAMBA, we're with them the whole trip.
Yeah, yeah. SAMBA is like the other fee for service plan. So it's you don't need referrals. It's not you don't have to stay in network. It's a fee for service, but with a preferred provider option, just like Blue Cross and letter carriers and postal workers. It's among that same group. And I think a lot of employees have always thought it was a restricted plan, so they've kind of ignored it. But I try to bring it out that this is a great plan for anybody now to be in, and especially when we'll talk later on about Medicare. I think it's a good complement with Medicare.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because you can go to any doctor that you choose. You just obviously get a higher benefit if you use a in-network provider.
As with any PPO, so that's always a good feature. What is your deductible this year? For next year, I guess it would be.
Well, we didn't change it. It's still $300.
It's $350 for the standard option.
For the standard option.
$300 for the high.
Is that per person? And then what is it if you have family coverage? Is it the same?
It's $700 if you have family.
No matter how many family members are covered. Mm-hmm. That's good. Very good.
Over the period of times that we do these shows, I'm not a Fed, not a retired Fed, with Tammy's tutelage over the years, I'm understanding more about them. But do you sell outside the federal sector? Are you available for people in non-federal?
Good question, Bob. And no, we aren't. We're only open to federal employees and federal retirees.
Okay, we're done.
We're done.
can't get in, Bob.
With the exception of the tribe.
Well, that's a good point. Thank you.
And that's only for the health.
Health Insurance, the Affordable Care Act, extended the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program to tribal employees and tribal organizations, and only for those for the health insurance plans. So we have enrolled several tribal members in our plan, but they cannot join any of our other plans that we offer, only the health insurance plan.
Okay, you all have a highly rated plan, I believe, with the Checkbook Guide to Healthcare Plans. And brag about yourself a little bit here. How'd you get there? Can't bribe anybody.
Yeah. Can't bribe anyone. And, of course, the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, conducts an annual survey called the CHAP survey, where they send out letters and ask enrollees to rate how their plan treated them. And thank you very much. We've been always highly rated because we value customer service. And we have several very experienced employees that respond to members calling with questions about benefits, and we give them the best service that we can. And of course, through the years, many of our members who have been in for a long time, they understand what's going on, and they appreciate it. Our Cigna network is a very wide network. Many providers, just about all hospitals and urgent care centers are in the Cigna network, so that we don't have much problem with members finding providers that they would like to see. And of course, we don't require referral. If someone needs to go see a specialist, fine, they go. They don't have to seek a referral from us.
One thing that you would like to mention about the specialist is that the copayment is still $20. Several of the plans, if you look, your primary care may be at one level and then the copayment goes up.
That's right.
If you go to see a specialist.
That's another place where some of the plans have changed their benefits, but not necessarily so much the premium. So like you said, it can kind of sneak up on you next year. So I always tell employees, look at the front page of your brochure, because it's going to give you a reference to what page tells you what is changing for next year. So even if you don't plan to change your plan may have changed on you. And what Walt and Pam are saying today is that SAMBA really hasn't. So when you look at that front page, you're not going to see too many changes in the SAMBA standard option for next year, which is kind of cool.
I also like what you said about customer service. Now, it sounds like I'm trying to cater to you, but we've known each other a long time, and Tammy longer than I. Mm-hmm. And you used to run the premier pre-retirement seminar in the country. I still remember those days, and you brought the people not only to talk to these large groups, but you did one-on-ones. And this is not to say anything bad about anybody else, but I always remember that. I said, boy, they really do a job on this.
That was the FBI. That wasn't SAMBA so much. That was pre-SAMBA days.
That was the FBI. I'm a retired FBI agent. So that's how we got into that. And we enjoyed doing seminars to explain retirement benefits. And of course, Tammy worked with me at the FBI.
Not with you. I worked for you. You were my boss. And it was a good relationship. That's kind of how this all got started way back then.
And that's how Tammy became
part
a speaker.
Of NITP. That's right.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Thanks to Walt letting me do that during my time there. And then I took off with it.
You did good.
Yeah. 28 years later, I'm still here.
All righty. Dental and vision. Talk a little bit about that. I know you have a dental vision plan.
I think that's the thing to set this up with is that SAMBA, because we just so far have talked about the health plan that's part of the FEHB, but SAMBA is so much more than that. It's provided a whole range of benefits, and one of those benefits is a separate dental and vision plan. It's not part of FedVIP, but it's a great plan, and there's some unique features to it. So I think Walt's ready to tell you some of those features.
Yes, of course, as Tammy mentioned, thank you very much. We combine the dental and the vision aspects in the SAMBA dental and vision plan. Members or anyone listening wants to know more about our plans other than what we discuss here, they can go to our website at sambaplans.com or sambahealth.com, either one, and look at the dental and vision. But generally, we use the Aetna network of dental providers to provide benefits. We have a dental maintenance organization, which is very much like an HMO, and we have another option that enrollees can choose, which is a preferred provider plan. And under our PPO plan, or the option two of our dental and vision plan, enrollees can go to any dentist they want to. They don't have to be in the Aetna network. So generally, we cover 100% the preventive services. If you go to a participating Aetna dentist that is in a dental maintenance organization with Aetna, you get a greater percentage of your expenses paid. And with our plans, of course, we have coverage for the orthodontia. There's no waiting period under the DMO.
Is that for children and adults or just children?
That's children and adults.
Oh, that's great.
You'd be surprised. You see a lot of adults these days wearing braces, and so we cover that. The waiting period under our PPO option is 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the things that distinguishes, or really two distinguishing features of our plan versus the plans are in FedVIP. One is you can join our plan anytime throughout the year. You don't, not just during the open season. You can join in January, February. So we have enrollees all year round.
You don't have to be part of the Samba Health Plan.
And you do not, thank you. You do not have to have the Samba Health Plan in order to join the Samba Dental and Vision Plan.
There's no membership fees.
No membership fees, and children are covered up to age 26.
Which is not true for FedVIP. A lot of people don't know that, but FedVIP only covers your kids till they're 22. That did not, the Affordable Care Act did not extend to dental and vision plans, but Samba took it upon themselves to cover kids until 26, which I think is great.
We cover children until 26 under the dental and vision plan and or the life insurance plans.
Even the life insurance plans mm-hmm. as well. I didn't know that. It's great.
All right, you have an 800 number for some of us that are computer phobic. What's the 800 number?
1-800-638-6589. Again, that's 1-800-638-6589.
Okay, and then the website again.
Just www.sambaplans.com or sambahealth.com. Either one will get you there.
And you can also link to it from the OPM website because it is, you know, one of the federal employee health benefit plans.
Okay. Now, for the listeners that have been anxiously writing all that down, you can write the next number down and you can actually talk
Call
to
it.
Walt, Pam, Tammy, maybe not me. 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. So if you got a particular question, or a benefit question, or even a tax question. We're here. But remember, this is live. It's 10:22 Eastern Time. It's November 25th. We will be on till 10:58 and a half. Don't call after that expecting anyone to answer, but you can email us. All righty?
I'd like to ask one question because I know we're going to run out of time, and I think this is an important issue. And I talked about this Saturday at a health fair on your behalf, Walt. But I always find that Samba seems to work really well with Medicare because we have a lot of our audience who is retired, and some of them are over 65, and they have Medicare A and B. And yeah, that's an extra expense. You have to pay a premium for Medicare Part B. So when you have that along with an FEHB plan, that adds to your cost every month for health insurance. So I think one of the neat things about Samba standard option is that you pay a relatively low premium, but what do you get when you also have Medicare A and B?
Well, with Medicare A and B, generally what happens is Samba covers at 100% with no deductibles, no copays, anything that Medicare doesn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Medicare has its own deductibles and coinsurance, so there's generally a portion of the Medicare bill that's not paid. So Samba picks up whatever is not paid by Medicare. And of course, it's all done automatically.
No
paperwork. Generally, it's the provider that files the claim with Medicare. And our members are registered with Medicare. So Medicare sees that once they pay their portion, they transfer the unpaid balance to Samba so that we know go ahead and pay the provider for that amount. And, of course, even considering Medicare's comprehensive coverage, there are still situations where Medicare doesn't cover anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
In which case, Samba would pick up on that.
One big thing is Medicare doesn't have a catastrophic benefit where you can have that when you have Samba as the complement, as with any federal health plan. But I just like its coordination of benefits, good prescription drug coverage, low premiums. That's a good combination for someone who has Medicare A and B. So definitely one to look at.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought up the prescription benefits for individuals with Medicare.
Right.
Who may be looking at getting a Medicare D plan. You know, the Samba benefit package does qualify
as credible coverage. So, which means you don't need Medicare D. You can use the Samba drug
Correct.
Benefit. And for most people, that's going to be adequate without adding Part D. But if later in life, for some reason, you need additional drug coverage, you can pick it up with no penalty.
That's right.
Cool.
And when we talk, we're talking to any Fed. Is there a minimum time period that a new Fed has to work before they can be covered under?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, federal employees have benefits so pretty much from day one.
Even on the other side of the spectrum, they should look at what they're buying.
Absolutely. And SAMBA also offers, besides dental, vision, and health, do you want to mention real quickly some of the other benefits under SAMBA's umbrella?
Well, of course, thank you. We offer life insurance. We also have a personal accident or accidental death benefit plan. And lastly, we have a long-term disability program.
Which a lot of federal employees don't realize that they don't really have. We have disability retirement, but we have no disability insurance through the federal programs.
That's exactly right. And this plan pays 65% of their insured salary, and anything that we pay is tax-free to the employee. Wow. So it really protects them and their family, as you said, should they be unfortunate enough to have a major illness, they run out of sick leave or shared leave or donated leave, and it's a real concern. So we have a lot of members who enroll in our plan, and then as their salaries go up, they keep increasing their insured salary, and it's
without any underwriting
proof of
or
insurability
anything. Yeah,
or once they're enrolled. So it's a great benefit for them.
Is that also available to all federal employees?
All federal employees, only active employees, mm-hmm. of course, not retired, yeah. but active federal employees.
Is there a wait period? Is the premium key to wait period with regards to the disability program that if you wait 6 months, it's less of a premium than if you yeah. wait 2 months?
No, we have a 60-day waiting period. So when an individual insured member incurs an illness or whatnot, and they're unable to, or they've had the illness for 60 days, on the 61st day, we start to provide benefits.
And they could be using sick leave during that 60 days.
They could
days.
Be using mm-hmm. sick leave or leave without
donated
pay
leave.
Or
yeah.
donated leave during that time.
Do they have to pass any kind of medical history tests?
When they enroll, they have to give us a history, a medical history. And based on that, we decide whether we want to cover them or not.
Okay.
I mean, so you're either in fair. Or you're not. There's not a different range of
There's
coverage.
A lot of, right. Yeah. Exactly right. You're in or you're out.
That's right.
Now, with your life insurance, who's your carrier, or do you all do it yourself?
Yeah, we use Ing, which is AM Best highly rated carrier. Ing is the carrier for our life insurance plans. The long-term disability plan, we insure that ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And with the life insurance, that also extends into retirement as well.
That's so exactly right. They can carry that on as long as they want.
Mm-hmm. As long as they want to pay for it, right?
Right. And we have a new product that we're going to bring out after the first of the year with Ing. It'll be a 10-year or a 20-year level term. And a lot of folks like the idea of a level term premium as opposed to a term life insurance premium that goes up maybe every 5 years like Fegley does. This would be the same premium for 10 years or for 20 years.
So you would purchase it as you would a 10 or 20-year level term policy.
That's exactly right.
So that's good because, yeah, you're right. Fegley does escalate, especially option B, significant increases
right.
every 5 years,
right.
especially as you get older.
And I'm going to be the outsider looking in again. The longer you can lock that term in, the older you get. And I'm not talking 65 or 70. I'm talking in 40s, 50s. Grab that 20-year term. Talking yeah. to one who made a mistake. Anyway, nice program. So, Greg, what were you bragged about
say
yourself?
The comment I think a lot of people want to ask is what are the differences between the standard and the high option? Why would someone ever choose the high option? I think it's not a real popular plan anymore, and we really promote the standard option, but I think people may want to know what are the differences between the two.
Well, as you said, it's our standard option is our more popular option. Those individuals that are in the high option, perhaps they're looking at increased benefits for their prescription drugs, mm-hmm. which is the major difference
right.
Between the two options. The high option does have some additional nursing care,
skilled,
hospice,
skilled
nursing.
A need mm-hmm. to go into a skilled care facility. How long is that plan benefit? Do you know, something like 60 days maybe or 30 days? It's very typical. Well, we'll look it up. We'll
yeah,
check
we'll
it out in the
look
brochure.
All righty.
Yeah, but I think what drives a lot of the premiums for the health benefit plans is not necessarily the benefits, but it's the people who are covered under it. And that's a plan that dates back to before federal employees had Medicare. So that causes that premium, I think,
exactly
to be a lot
right.
higher.
And that's a very good point,
Tammy. Do we still have older retirees out there without Medicare?
Yes, we still do. And a lot of them are still in the high option because they've been in the high option for years. And before 1984, federal employees were not eligible for Medicare. And so a lot of these folks never got the quarters that they needed. They retired before 84, and they're still going strong. Of our membership, we've got about 700 members that are 90 and above.
Really?
We have three members in our health plan that are over 100 years old.
Wow. So that's driving that rate for the high option.
It's driving the rate for the high option.
So most employees we're talking to today would be the standard option candidates more so.
Yes, and at the age of average age in our standard option is in the 40s.
And that's good because that keeps the premiums relatively low.
That's right.
All righty, we have to wind down the first half of the show. Final comments, Walt, Pam?
Well, the open season when federal employees and retirees can change from one health plan to another ends December 9th.
2 weeks.
2 weeks to go, and it's very easy for federal employees to change their health plan. They can either go through their agency, and they go through their portals to change their health plan. The retirees can go through OPM. The health plan itself, like SAMBA, we can't change your enrollment.
That's right.
But the employee has to actually initiate that action, or the retiree has to initiate that action. And then we get the good news from the Office of Personnel Management, and everything's
We send out the membership information.
And any change in enrollment during this open season goes into effect January 1 for the retirees and the first day of the first pay period.
January 12th for most active federal employees.
And I would just like to add as we close that SAMBA is not only giving you your health benefits. There's a lot of programs that we have, especially in 2014, where you can call a 24-hour nurse line if you have any questions. We have a wellness program next year that we really want our members to participate in. So please, check that out and take advantage.
Stay healthy.
All right.
Thank you so much, Walt.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome. Good to see you both.
Thank you.
Yeah. All righty. Joan Melanson, spotlight's on you now. Joan is Director of Program Promotions, Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. And it's been a while since you've been on the show, too.
I love coming, and thank you for the invitation, Bob and Tammy.
Sure, Joan. Good to see you again for the third time over the weekend.
That's right. It's been a quite a marathon of health fairs and all the educational outreach that we always do.
All righty. With long-term care, like any other insurance, we're insuring against risk. So just highlight more of the risks and the costs associated with long-term care and why this is going to come out wrong. Why would anybody want long-term care? What I mean by any age, and that's what I meant by that.
Well, that's a very good question because a lot of people look at long-term care and say, why do I need it? I have my health insurance, I have Medicare, I have the VA, I have all kinds of things. And what I don't need is another insurance. Why would I need it? What people don't understand is that long-term care insurance pays for the costs if you're not getting better. And it's what I call custodial care. And it's not exactly something we want to talk about, but when you need assistance with eating, bathing, dressing, people associate it with nursing home care. But in reality, 80% of care happens at home or in the community setting. And that's where people want to be. They want to be at home. So people think of this as nursing homes. You have to be 90 years old and you're old. But in reality, 40% of long-term care is used by people under the age of 65. And I know that's just a percentage, and it's not going to impact you or me or anybody else because we're not part of that 40%. But the reality is that it can happen to you. And it's like what you're saying. It's insurance.
Okay, but somebody younger, could benefit from this. And I would imagine the premiums are associated with age. I'd imagine, a direct correlation between the two. So it would be fairly inexpensive for somebody just entering mid-career or something like that. Probably at the beginning career, nobody wants to talk about anything other than what can I spend.
Right.
But as we age, sometimes we get wiser, sometimes we don't. But somebody approaching, you know, in their late 30s, 40s, maybe there's a family, maybe there's not. Maybe there's a spouse, maybe there's not. But as we age, issues, as my friend says, and I'm sure other, up pops the devil. And we don't want the devil to pop up and us being unprepared to face that. So if you were to look at the population of your, if you will, client base, I'm sure it's stratified towards the older age, but is there a younger age where they just don't want to hear about it?
Well, we always say to people, when you have other obligations, such as you're paying off your mortgage, you're putting your kids to through college, and you have those types of responsibilities, you need to satisfy those first. And that's why we talk to people when some of those obligations disappear, not all of them, because, you know, we always thought that once the kids got through college, we wouldn't have any more financial obligations. I'm looking directly at Tammy because we've talked about
we're
this.
We're in this, John and I are both in the same boat.
In the same age group. The mid-20s and getting older that still need financial assistance.
The checks
assistance.
Are getting smaller, but we're still sending checks.
Yes, we are still sending the checks. And so what we say is when you're doing your retirement planning, that's the time to really look at long-term care insurance. Mm-hmm. And actually, let me step back. It's the time that we say you should look at long-term care because long-term care insurance may not be for everybody.
That's right.
And we want people to think about it. So when you're doing your whole retirement plan, where does long-term care fit in there? Do you have a plan? Have you talked to your family members so they know what your plan is? Mm-hmm. So they don't have to second guess it when all of a sudden you don't have the wherewithal to really, really discuss it. So we find that many feds are doing this in their early 50s. And surprisingly, or surprisingly not, the average age of purchasing this product is 51.
Is it?
Yeah, it is because Tammy is out there and you're talking to feds all the time. Right. They're doing their financial planning. They're thinking about retirement at a pretty young age. They're looking at it mm-hmm. late 40s, early 50s. And that's the time, and it gets back to what you were saying, Bob. It's not only a time when you're doing your retirement planning, but you look at the premiums that we charge at 51, and they're actually very affordable. If you look at it and you wait until you're 60 or 65 or 70, they're going to be less affordable.
And you may not qualify.
And you may not qualify. Mm-hmm. There are two things that are important. The younger you are, the more likely you're going to be able to be underwritten. Not that you have to be in perfect health, but you can't already need assistance. And secondly, the premiums are less expensive. And so a very affordable age to purchase the plan is 51. And we try to educate people. Our biggest people say, what's your competition? And I say the biggest competition is denial.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking to someone like Tammy, and I'll say, Tammy, this is a great time for you to buy. And she'll say, what do you mean? I'm in the prime of my life. Right. I feel great. I'm finally getting rid of some of those financial obligations. I'm going to travel everywhere. You want me to think about long-term care and long-term care insurance?
That's what I had kids for. They're going to take care of me.
Yeah, your kids maybe. I have two boys, and I wouldn't count on them to do anything.
I was saying that facetiously, but I hear that a lot, that people will say, well, I raised my kids, and they've finished the basement, and I can just move in there. But the illnesses of aging today, you don't want to put that burden on your kids.
Well, I've taken care of my mom. She's mm-hmm. Going on 92. And when you think of caregiving, most people think about making meals and driving a parent to a doctor's appointment. Those things are bringing flowers. But what I'm talking about is when you actually have to physically lift a parent. Mm-hmm. You're showering a parent. You're dressing a parent. Dead weight. That's a whole different piece of caregiving.
That's a
skill. That isn't what people think about when they think of caregiving, and that's what's difficult. And do you want to have your children do something like that?
I can't even picture that.
Yeah, it's you know.
Well, I have a theory about the age, Joan, about the 50, early 50s is when people buy it. And you said it's because they're thinking about retirement. But I also think if you're in your 50s, in many cases, your parents are in their 70s and 80s, and you're starting to become that caregiver. You're starting to pitch in a little bit more. Maybe it's just a little bit at first. You're helping them with their bills. You're helping them a little bit with, you know, traveling. But then as they get older, and sometimes have those illnesses of aging, you end up becoming the full-time caregiver. And then you start to think, that's going to be me in 20 or 30 years, and who's going to do this for me?
You're absolutely right. It's two things. It's the retirement planning, but more importantly, what you've just said. Mm-hmm. The people that are most interested, and we go out and do a lot of retirement seminars with NITP. We go out and we do lunch and learns. We have a whole list of webinars on our very comprehensive website, which is www.ltcfeds.com. And you can learn everything you need to know and more about long-term care, as well as the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. And you can see that. But the people who come over when we go out to health fairs are the ones that say, I've just been through this experience, and it's I don't want to have my kids go through it, or mm-hmm. I don't want to have my spouse go through it. I don't want my sisters or my brothers to do that, because I get it. It's extremely mm-hmm. expensive. Getting back to what you were saying earlier, Bob, it's a very expensive care out there. And when you're doing a retirement planning, do you want all of your retirement dollars and nest egg to go for that kind of care? Or do you want to offload it to insurance so that
I also think, Joan, that it buys you some time. Because everyone says, you know, how much long-term care insurance should I purchase? Well, you don't know, because you don't know how much your care you're going to need. You're not going to know the cost of it. But I say get as much as you can afford, because it's going to buy you and your family some time. It gives you money to help during that adjustment period when you encounter that illness of aging or that accident that's happened mm-hmm. where you want to keep that loved one at home. So this way you can hire some outside help, even if it's for one shift. And even if that lasts for 2 or 3 years, that's better than nothing. Plus, if you do have to go into a nursing home, saying you have long-term care insurance usually is carte blanche to get into the door. And once you're in there, they can't kick you out.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and what we say to people, and I'll get back to what I said before, I'm not here to say long-term care insurance is for everybody. I'm saying have a plan for long-term mm-hmm. care. You want to have a plan before you're in crisis mode. What are you going to do? Have you done your advance directives? Do you have somebody who's got your power of attorney, your health power of attorney, and also someone who's managing your estate? You know that very well, Bob. You got to do this mm-hmm. in advance. Decide all of these details. And it can be a very calm conversation, but if you know everybody's wishes, then when you get into crisis mode, you're not scrambling to say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Because then you've got emotional issues. And if you have logistical stuff in place, you can better deal with the emotional stuff.
Could I ask you a marketing question?
Absolutely.
If I was sitting listening, I'm going to do two phases. I'm late mid-career, and I'm looking at my parents aging. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, if they don't have the proper insurance, I'm going to have to pay. Not that I begrudge my parents that, but, you know, I might have a family. I might not have a family, but I just might not have the excess cash. Mm-hmm. So they might look forward and say, if they can get into it, maybe at an advanced age, it might not be cost friendly. Or they might say to themselves, maybe I'll get it so I won't put my family through it. Mm-hmm. Do you ever hit that? I don't know if that's a soft spot.
We do have people who buy it for their parents.
They do. They mm-hmm. Everybody has to complete the application, because it's individually underwritten. What does that mean? It means that you answer a lot of underwriting questions. There are 40 questions on the application, and the underwriting questions are yes or no. If it's yes, you have to explain. And at the end, you sign permission for us to get a copy of your medical records. So you don't have to go to any physical or anything, but we have to look at your medical mm-hmm. records. And then, just like the SAMBA folks were saying, you're either in the program mm-hmm.
or
you're
out
mm-hmm. of the program. We don't have any standard ratings or anything. You're either in or out. And
but if you, as the employee, want to pay the premium once
your
parents are enrolled, then you can sign up to pay for that, because that's going to protect your inheritance down the road. It's going to also provide you the ability to care for your parents better, because you have that resource to help provide some extra care that they otherwise couldn't afford in many cases.
Absolutely. You could pay. So you could have it payroll deducted. A lot mm-hmm. of people like that. I mean, the things that I don't want to think about paying, I always have payroll deducted mm-hmm. because then I don't ever see it. It's just gone. But you can pay it for your spouse. Now, you can, as an employee, you're eligible. Your spouse can apply even if you don't apply. Parents, parents-in-law, and adult children. If you're retired, you can still purchase the program. It just gets more expensive. And getting to costs, which I, if you ask me, what's the number one question that I get asked? It's how much does it cost? And I want to just give you a little bit of price sensitivity. Our very, the most popular plan, as I mentioned before, and this is just an average, as I said, on average, 51 is the average age of purchase. The average plan is $150 a day.
Benefit,
paying for 3 years and a 4% annual compounded inflation. Now, the benefit will last longer than 3 years if you use it less than $150 a day. And that $150 a day, as well as the pool of money, will inflate 4% compound every year. But at age 40, that would be $27. At age 50, it's $42.
Is that biweekly premiums?
Biweekly, mm-hmm. Thank you. And at age 60, it goes up to 68. So you can see the price sensitivity, 27 at age 40, 42 at age 50, and $68 biweekly at age 60. And then at each age, of course, there's a certain rate, but I'm just giving you
an idea. In some parts of the country, that would pay for assisted living, probably not in big, large metropolitan areas like Washington or Boston, but in some smaller towns, you can get an assisted living cost of residency for $4,500 a month. So that would provide some care for 3 years for a loved one that would certainly buy you some time while you're deciding what happens next. If, you know, if they're still here in 3 years and we've run out of long-term mm-hmm. care, then we can go to plan B with our assets or other savings.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tammy. And remember, oftentimes at home when you get care, you're going to get it for 4 hours, mm-hmm. Which would be about $20 an hour. So that's $80. And typically 3 or 4 days a week.
Just to give the caregiver a break.
Yeah, that will stretch the time even longer than mm-hmm. the 3 years. And that's exactly what happened to my mom. She did what I call sort of the typical scenario. You get someone who comes in a few times a week to help, and then it ends up escalating to being more care at home. And mm-hmm. finally it gets to a point where it's assisted living and then finally nursing home. Mm-hmm. Again, we never say that insurance should cover 100% of the cost. Most federal employees, you're going to have money with you. You've got a pension with you, got your TSP. So you're going to have some money. We view this as a catastrophic because, quite frankly, if I had that silver ball that you talked about, you know, when would I need it? How long will I need it and how much will I need? I'd be golden.
Yeah, we don't know those answers.
And it would be no problem with that. But I could tell you, Bob, that you could be paying between now and when you use it at age 99, or you may never use it. Or you may use it at age 70 for a long time.
It's like fire insurance.
It's any insurance.
Yeah.
Everybody pays in, hopefully, so that not everybody uses it and the rates can stay reasonable.
And that's it. So I say to people, you have to look at your family situation to decide whether insurance makes sense. Look at your family situation. What kind of a support system do you have?
Is it different if you're single versus a married couple?
No. And in private plans, because that's another thing we always say, is you should go out and look at the private plans. There are some different bells and whistles with private plans. Mm-hmm. Private plans are individual plans, and they have group discounts. We are a group plan. The Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program, it's administered and overseen by the Office of Personnel Management. It's your only federal long-term care benefit, option. So you don't have others to look at that are overseen by OPM. But because it's a group plan, there are no group discounts, and everybody pays the same plan. So if something like a couple's discount, or what they call share care, that a husband and wife can share the care. If that's a deal breaker, then you need to go on the outside. And there are companies that offer plans. In fact, on our website, we have a comparison sheet, mm-hmm. a plan comparison
to
sheet.
Take
because
with you.
We really think that, to us, it's not important that you purchase the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. Our mission is to educate everybody to have a plan for long-term care.
Well, that was my question too, Jim, besides just the cost differences with couples or single people. But if I'm a single person, I don't have children, I don't have a spouse to maybe step in that role of caregiver, is my need for long-term care insurance going to be different than if it's a married couple who have two people living in the same household who, if one needs care, the spouse becomes number one caregiver, or money's at stake for the surviving spouse if one needs care. So I think there's a difference in how you would look at long-term care needs if you're single versus a married couple.
You're right. And a lot of it gets back to, as we were talking before, a lot of it is, what's your family situation? What's your family history? Do you have Alzheimer's in your family? Do people live to be old? What's your financial situation? What's your view towards risk? What's your view towards insurance? And I can't answer that because these are all personal choices.
Can I ask a few questions in that regard?
Absolutely.
One, with the 4% COLA, is it 4% whether the cost of living is above or below 4%? It's just 4%?
It is 4% compounded inflation every year.
Okay.
So it's nothing to do with COLA. It is, you can buy into a 4% compounded. You can also get a 5% compounded. And you can also choose a future purchase option, which means every 2 years you choose inflation based upon the consumer price index. And that would be a lower rate than the 4% compounded.
Yeah. Okay. And then with regards to somebody that's maybe a little bit older, and do you, would
Depends
they ever
how
have
you defined a little bit older?
Well, I'd be one of them. All right. So
I thought you were about 45.
And thank you. That was 21 years ago.
Think Medicare.
So I, after listening to you all talk about long-term care, I finally dawned on me, maybe I should get it. So I got some about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Of course, congratulations.
Thanks for educating me. Well, so do I. But I had to take a memory test. Me. And I failed it.
You failed it.
Well, you didn't tell them where you took it and what you were doing at the time.
You were probably multitasking, yes. Bob. Yeah, you weren't even paying attention to the questions.
That's right.
I was on the beltway driving way too fast.
And you were answering questions when the police stopped you over, and you were trying to do it simultaneously.
And so, I know this stuff. Well, I messed it up. And fortunately, I got to take it again, and I did it sitting still with nothing near me to read or talk to. But do you all ever have to do that? Would you require somebody to take a test if maybe they were in that sweet spot?
Yeah, at older ages that we would do a telephone interview. Mm-hmm. And if someone hasn't been to a doctor in over a year, then we would require them to do to see a doctor. So we do underwriting we probably wouldn't have done it at your age in our program, but every insurance company has different underwriting standards.
Which is why if you get turned down by one, you shouldn't necessarily not apply for a different one.
Exactly. But I can tell you then in general, if you already have MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, if you have those types of diseases, there isn't going to be any company that will underwrite you.
But does Long Term Care Partners ask if you've been turned down by another company? Does that even come up in the underwriting?
It doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
So that's not going to be held against you if you were turned down.
You should. So if you, and again, you don't have to be in perfect health, but what happens is the underwriters evaluate your application and look at that in terms of the age that you are. So the way they would look at someone who is 65 would be different than 45.
Right.
And to make that decision, and then you're either in or out of the program.
Your first entree into the federal sector, if you will, when this was created was 2002, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely spot on.
Okay, so I remember that.
You should have passed the memory.
They didn't give me that test. Anyway, so in 2002 until today, you've added things or subtracted things that would make it more palatable or desirable to. What enhancements have you done, say, in the last couple of years? What do you got coming forward on the drawing boards? I'm not going to ask you. That's not right, because what's on the drawing board?
Let me tell you what I know. We launched the program in 2002, and we got under 200,000 of enrollees. That was our FELTSIP 1.0, very creative name. Because
the age of technology.
FELTSIP 2.0 in 2011, and when we did our second open season. The difference is that we listened to folks. We do a lot of outreach efforts, and everyone said, we want more home health care benefits. We want to age in place. That's what everybody wants. Nobody wants to go to the dreaded nursing home. No. They want to be at home. So we added some features that would allow people to stay at home longer. We increased the home health care coverage. We have a stay-at-home benefit that will pay to modify your home to stay there during the waiting period. And
informal caregiver.
And the informal caregiver, we increased that amount from 365 days to 500 days. There are some things that are very good about this plan, particularly its home health care benefits. And also,
talk to Joan real quick because we're going to run out of time, but tell them about the website because you've made some big improvements to the website and there's limitless information there.
Yes, www.ltcfeds.com. It's very important because www.ltcfeds.com. And if you want to call us, we have 1-800-LTC-FEDS. We have personal, consultants that can answer any questions. And we have very comprehensive tools. You can see what the cost of care is in your area. You can calculate the costs of the benefit premiums. Because, again, it's based upon the benefits that you choose and how old you are when you apply for the program. We have online consultant tool, and we also have all of our webinars and their archives. So we have a lot of things that are very helpful for you to make that very important decision. Again, it's a difficult decision. It's not inexpensive. You have to pay these premiums every single year until you use it. And by the way, you may never use it. So I don't really
want to get my money's worth.
it's a tough thing to deal with, but we think it's a very important one.
Okay. You're rated, I'm sure, on your claim specialist or how fast you pay or how quickly somebody can access you. How have you done in that category?
Well, our profit is tied into how we do, not only how fast we pay our claims, but we underwrite everything that we do. So you can be sure those standards are extremely high. And by the way, we are paying over $8 million in claims every month now. And that's
every
growing.
Month. Wow.
Every single time I look at the numbers, they're higher because we started this program in 2002 and people are getting older. You're getting the benefits that you've paid for.
People want to know when's the next open season.
That's to be determined by OPM.
But,
we do not know
at
this point.
But what you usually answer that with is it's always open.
Well, that's the other thing. People are very important on that.
Right.
But thank you. It is always open. You can apply at any time. It's 40 questions versus 7 questions. And if you're healthy, I say it's never going to be
better
as affordable as it is today because the older you get, the more expensive
it is. We have about 30 seconds, so why don't we bring it down to a slow landing? Quick last comments. Joan, you're next, Tammy.
Quick last comments. Look at this while you're younger. Have a plan for long-term care. The Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program is a very comprehensive and good benefit, but it may or may not be for you.
Tammy?
We'll see you next week and pay attention to insurance during this open season. You got 2 weeks left.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.